So, Lord, we do ask for your presence of your Holy Spirit now to lead and guide Pastor Shannon as she shares with us and Betty as she shares with the children. May your name be honored. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, so the Lord did something that, be truthfully honest, I think he warned me about it a while ago, but, you know, you hear things and you go, oh, okay. Well. And that was, I had a word, a message prepared. And then Thursday evening, for those of you who know, I take Friday off. And so Thursday evening, after the CR meeting, I went home and I was sitting there. Thank you. And the Lord started speaking to me about the message he wanted me to preach. And my thinking is, oh, this is going to be sometime later down the road. And no, it just kept in my heart. And then, do you know, have you ever had, I'm going to say signs, but we're not going to go signs and water, wonders like walking on water, but just little signs like all of a sudden, you know, the three devotional books that you're reading all say the same thing. The people that you know that you have a subscription to on you know pastors and that they start speaking the same thing and you're sitting there going and you're going, okay, this is I think the Lord wants me to do it this Sunday. So anyhow. So it's not the word I had intended, but it's the word he had intended. And so again, just bear with me this morning. And we'll get into it here in just a second. I'll tell you, I'm going to talk about something first because I've told you this every year about harvest time. I like to take a drive. I just like to drive out into the country. I love the colors and the crops and what's going on. And so I was somewhere. I call it the road to Round Hill. I don't know what number it is, but I was on that road and I was heading that direction, which I think is north, but you know, you get on a road, and to the west, it was somewhere around 7 or 7:30 at night. It was actually 7:30. I know it was 7:30 because I looked, because the sun was just kind of starting to set, you know, with the beautiful harvest skies that are pink and orange and purple and blue and white clouds and clouds of dust, and I come across this field where the farmers are out there, and there are four combine going in a row, and they're kind of staggered. And I don't know anything about farming enough to know all this. I know it's a combine, right? The big guy. And there's, it wasn't a tractor. And then there's the big, you know, grain trucks. There was about three of them sitting in a row waiting to go, and the dust was flying, and this all over here, this part had already been done, and they're working on that, and they're driving along in tandem, and it just is beautiful, right? It's just like, wow, are we ever blessed, Lord, in a country that produces crops, like even in a drought. And I'm sitting there, and I'm watching all of this go on, and then the Lord just kind of speaks to me about the harvest. And he said, see how they're in unity? They're all in unity, moving together, bringing in the harvest. And then there are those with the trucks ready to grab the grain. And he said, get ready. And I look, you know, we look around the church here, and he says, and the church is the grain bin, and it's coming in. So we're just, again, you know, when the Lord gives us words and little prompts, let's grab hold of them. And you'll see what I mean in a few minutes as I share what the message is this morning. But let's start, because school has started. Next week we start Sunday school. Here's a little story for you. A Sunday school teacher was teaching a lesson on the Old Testament. And she asked her students, one of her students named Tommy, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And Tommy's answer was, well, it wasn't me. Really worried about the lack of Tommy's biblical knowledge, the teacher called Tommy's mom, and her mom said, look, my son's a good kid. If he said he didn't do it, he didn't do it. Now extremely worried, the mother called Tommy's father, and he listened to her story and said this, well, look, I don't want any trouble. Just tell me, how much is it going to cost to fix that wall? And I'll take care of it. Well, that's a humorous story, sort of. But it does speak to a world that doesn't know God. And as God has given us the opportunity, the unction, the Spirit, and His Word to take out to the harvest field. Pray for the laborers, Jesus said. So this morning, I'll be honest, I didn't know what to call this when Rebecca needed a title because I didn't know what the Lord was going to do exactly. Oops. There should be, oh, I don't know where the first one is. Okay. Doesn't matter. It says in a little, you know what, truthfully, I probably saved it to the wrong place. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. The title of my message is Before the Suddenlies. And last week when I shared about perseverance, we talked about the suddenlies of God. And we talked about perseverance, and it's kind of the same message this morning, but not. Can I just put it that way? And I'm going to say this, as I share it this morning, it's because maybe it's not you, but maybe there's somebody here that needs to hear this again or see it again. See what the Lord is saying today. The suddenlies of God are suddenly, but not. There is much that goes on before the suddenlies of God. In fact, it's interesting, when you look through the Old Testament, you see where the prophetic words have been spoken, but it's hundreds, maybe even thousands of years in the waiting and in the making. For instance, the first promise we hear God make is to Adam and Eve, where He says, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the snake, referring to Jesus. How many generations, how many years before Jesus walked the earth? We looked at Abraham and the promise of the son that took over 25 years to show up on the scene. We could also go to Elizabeth and Zechariah, who were in their old age when the angel finally came to Zechariah and said, listen, you're going to have a son because of your prayers. Your prayers have been answered. They were old when that came. And how long had they been praying for it? Jesus is talking to His disciples and talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit. The promise, God has promised the Holy Spirit. But it didn't happen right at that moment. And I want to go back to Genesis 1:1. Nope, that's not it. Let's just take it back. I'll get there in a while. So remember, I didn't get to do this till later, so some things aren't there. I put the important scriptures and things in place. In Genesis 1:1, God's Spirit, this is from the Message Bible, brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. And the reason I chose it that way is that's what it means when the Holy Spirit hovered over. He hovered over the earth, the abyss before the earth came, hovered over the Word of God, and it came to be as it came to be. In Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 3, it goes like this. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And that same sentence from the Message Bible, a life-giving Spirit of God will hover, brood over him. And of course, it's referring to the future of Jesus. And this is the Spirit. It is the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. Holy Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's what's hovering over the life-giving Spirit, the life of those who believe. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide with what he hears with his ears. And again, this is a prophetic word about Jesus. But how many of us know that same spirit dwells in us? That same spirit hovers over us, broods over us. He brings counsel, knowledge, might, and the fear of the Lord. Are we listening? And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean to us? Delighting in the fear of the Lord. I don't want to be afraid of the Lord. But it's not talking about terror. It's talking about the amazing awesomeness of God. Who, quite honestly, I think I've shared this with you. How many of you have ever stood by Niagara Falls, felt the power and the presence, or a mighty waterfall anywhere, and you feel and is awe-striking and a little terrifying, but it doesn't mean it isn't beautiful and it isn't wonderful, but there's a respect for the power and the presence, and it's so it is with God. So it is with us when we delight in the fear of the Lord. So, where am I going now, Lord? The Holy Spirit in you and upon you broods over the words and the promises of God. Now, in John, again, Jesus had promised. He says to his disciples, look, ask for the Holy Spirit. He tells them, you know, ask for the Holy Spirit. God doesn't give you a snake. He's not giving you a scorpion. Ask for the Holy Spirit. He will give it to you. In John 14, verses, I'm going to read from 15 to 17, says, if you love me, this is Jesus speaking again, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you sometimes. Does anybody know the right word? Forever. Forever, always, forever. The Spirit of truth. Now listen to this. You have the Spirit of truth. And when you come up against people of the world who don't know Jesus, they don't get it. Because it goes on to say the world cannot accept him. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you. And again, this is before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And will be with you. There's a promise that Jesus has made to his disciples as they were walking along, as they were in his ministry for those 3 years, or 3.5, depending on how you want to. The Holy Spirit was with them, but he says, listen, he will be in you. A promise. And then Jesus, just before his ascension, says to them, listen, you go into Jerusalem and you wait for the Holy Spirit. You wait for the power to come from on high. You see, the Holy Spirit broods over us. Broods over the Word of God, the promises of God. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you have ever been given a prophetic word? Somebody has spoken over you a prophetic word. Or you've read in the Bible a promise and you know it's yours because you know you're in Christ. But of those same things, how many of you have not seen the fulfillment of it yet? It doesn't mean it isn't going to be fulfilled. It just means it hasn't been done yet. And that's where we get to that perseverance. Waiting, pressing in until that suddenly happens. I have a couple of testimony this morning for us. I'm going to cut it down to just one. I was going to share another, but for time's sake, I won't. I came to Camrose Community Church in 1996 on my internship. And that's a miracle in itself of me being called into ministry. Because I was like, yeah, you don't mean me. Anyway, another time I will tell you about that. And I had a wonderful time here. And I still remember, for those of you who don't know, we used to meet over in Sparling School. Now, they met in several other places before I came, but we were meeting over in Sparling School in the gymnasium. And if you see this black box up here, I think there were two others like it. And every Sunday morning, the Robinson boys and a few others would haul that off a trailer into the school, set it all up. People were stacking, unstacking chairs. Do you remember those yellow wood plywood chairs? Yeah, really comfortable. But they did it week upon week because God is good. And in that time, I want you to know there was an ACCO trailer. On the other side of Sparling, there's that strip of land. It goes all the way to Tabb's Bowling Alley. We owned that as a church at one time. I wasn't here when they purchased it, but however that came about, you'll have to ask Alan or Don. They sold a chunk of it to the people who built the bowling alley. They put in the power and the utilities. And we were going to build on that church, on that property. We had a plan in mind. And so when I get here, I can't remember if it was May or June, something like that. We had a blueprint and we had a fundraising night. It was a silent auction. There was music and there was food and all kinds of things. It was great. And you know, we raised $4,000. If I'm wrong, forgive me, Lord, but to me, in my mind, it was $4,000. This little congregation came up with $4,000 to go towards the build. And we were excited until we found out what it was going to cost to build that building. And if I'm not mistaken, it was somewhere around the neighborhood of $500,000. $500,000. Well, $4,000 doesn't look like a lot for $5,000. Or for $500,000. So I remember us having a meeting over there, and I can't remember if it was just a board meeting or just a meeting of the elders and that. And we began to pray one night. And I tell you why I remember it the way I remember it, because it was so exciting for me as a young coming into ministry person. I was young. I'm going to go there. Still am. And, you know, we gathered around and we looked at that. And you know how sometimes you get discouraged? That's a lot of money to have to raise. And by the time we get that kind of money, what is it going to be? 10 years from now, like $500,000. Now, how much would it cost us to build that building now? Probably about $1.5 million with real basics. And so we prayed, and I remember as we were praying, the phone rang in Ralph's office, and Ralph went in to take the message, and then he came back, and he said, one of the elders of this church had called him and asked, might we be interested in buying this building? Well, I'll tell you what, we were more than might be. So there was a few things that went down, and August 6th of 1996, we moved in here. You see, what had taken many years in preparation and planning, and suddenly. So we've been here almost 30 years, 28 years this year. That's an amazing thing of God. We sit in this building, like I said, sometimes we don't even think about the miracle of God in that moment for us as we came to this wonderful place. God did something for us. Now, I want to speak to this in a different way now, and that is we had a prayer meeting, a dedication prayer meeting, if I can put it that way, once we moved in, and there were some words spoken over us. One of them was the affluent and the influential would be coming here. Myself, I had a vision. I saw the building, and it was surrounded by darkness. but the lights were on, and the warmth of the lights coming through the windows, people could see, and they were coming, they were drawn to the light. But there was also those who were blind who couldn't see the light. And if I can give the word to them, they were the word for me was the wretched. And what I mean by the wretched, they were poor, they were blind, they were lame and disabled and sick and unwell and literally crawling on the ground, clothes tattered. But they were coming because though they couldn't see, they could feel the warmth and they could feel the love. They were coming. I want to say that some of that has happened and it will continue to happen. That is a promise of the Lord for us. Now, I'm going to say about 8 years ago, but honestly, I can't tell you for sure how long ago. I had a vision of this church again. This church building, I was standing over there across from the street, looking at this church building. And I think I've shared this with you before. But what I saw was fire on the roof. The whole roof was on fire, but it wasn't burning. It was an iridescent fire. It was the Holy Spirit, and I knew it was the Spirit. The funny thing was that there was people around who didn't know the Spirit, but could see that the church was on fire and were literally calling the fire department, but they didn't understand what was going on. Again, I can't give you an exact time, but Linda and myself were for some reason down in Calgary, and we went for lunch with Pastor Lucas. And we were talking about things and about the congregation, and he says, you know, there was a word over this congregation many years ago about a great move of the Holy Spirit that was going to come upon us and through us. Now, I was super excited to hear it because I had had that vision, and it was a confirmation to me. So, we haven't seen it yet, not to the great. But does that mean the Lord isn't going to bring it? He is promised. And it is in that pressing in, that holding on to, that remembering what God has said, that we, again, continue to pray into it. I know in Daniel, when he knew that the time was coming Israel to go back, or Judah to go back to Israel, the Jews to go back, he started praying into it. He started pressing in and talking to the Lord. And again, I'm coming back to us. We have, just a second, Trevor, can I get you to bring that forward for me? We have promises. You have promises the Lord has spoken to you over for your family, for your friends, for your neighborhood, for your city, your community. Keep pressing in. That perseverance we talked about. Keep pressing in because we are going to see it. And that, like I said, before the suddenly, it's the pressing in. And we will see the outpouring of the suddenly of God in all these areas. So I'm going to put up a scripture. I'm just going to bring this here for a sec. Thanks, Trevor. And I know we're going to start baptizing you guys today. No, I'm not. So as I was, again, kind of pressing into the Lord, and I'd listened to, I'm going to be honest, it was something from Dutch Sheets, and he said something, and it just struck my spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave me this vision and this example, if I can put it that way. And we're going to see if maybe, there it is. Okay. In Revelation 5, 8, when he had taken it, that's the scroll, Jesus had taken it, the four creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and each one was holding a golden bowl full of incense. And what does that last line say? Which are the prayers of God's people. Now, if I do a calculation right, that's 28 bowls. Because I think the four creatures also had them. Doesn't matter. Each one full of the prayers of the saints. Full of the prayers of the saints. Your prayers aren't going nowhere. But there is times and seasons for things. And so, again, we just see this picture there. And it says, another angel who had a golden incense came and stood at the altar. And he gave much incense, was given much incense to offer, which the prayers of all, with the prayers of all the people on the golden altar in front of the throne. Now, I want to do something here. And again, it's pretty simple. But I hope we see something here. Okay. I need to make some room. Because I have two bowls here. Let's pretend this is a golden bowl. I know, it's just stainless steel. But we offer up a prayer, and it goes into the bowl. And again, I'm borrowing this from Dutch Seitz. And he said, you know, if God answers, pours back that the blessing from that prayer right now, that's nice. But what if the bowl is full of prayers? All the years, all the people praying for family, praying for their country, praying for their children, praying for the generations, your children's children, praying for your neighbors. Elan, would you do me a favor? Which one? And he pours out the blessing in a time, in a place, when things are at the fullness. And he pours them back. Well, see if I can maybe get it to move to the next scripture. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. I already read this. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the people on the golden altar in front of the throne. And the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before the Lord from the angel's hands. Found that beautiful picture. Went up before the throne. And then it talks about, I think it's there. And then the angel took the censer filled with the fire from the altar. So there's our, and hurled it down to the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumbling, flashes of lightning, and the earth quaked, an earthquake. And we look at that and we think, what? But there's a suddenly in that. How many of you have ever been in the middle of a storm and you've done the flash of lightning and the one, two, how many? And all of a sudden, boom, and it was way closer than you thought. Jumped right out of your chair. You see, that's our prayers. We keep pressing in and moving on and seeking God because we're filling the bowl. For when the time is right, the blessing that he's going to pour out. Well, this bowl can contain that. I just didn't think, never mind. That we cannot contain the blessing he's going to pour out. And I just want to encourage you this morning about the prophetic words of God that have been given you. And the suddenly when they come to be. Don't give up. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in for the promises. Keep persevering. And so I'm going to say that's the direction the Lord wanted me to take you this morning. To just see, visually, I guess. The trumpets are coming to be blown pretty soon. Jesus said we don't have to be afraid because he's overcome, right? But things are changing, and our prayers are powerful and effective. I appreciate, again, the worship music this morning that spoke. We declare Jesus. We declare Jesus. And we keep pressing in because the suddenly is coming, and we're not going to be able to contain the blessing. Amen? Why don't you stand up with me this morning? And I want to call out something for those of you, all of us can, and Paul tells us, all of us have Holy Spirit in us, all of us can prophesy. And what I want to say to you about that is, listen to the Holy Spirit, spend some time. Do you have a word, a comforting, encouraging word? And I'm going to share from the teaching I have, if it isn't encouraging and it isn't comforting, don't instantly receive it, because the Lord is a comforter and encourager. Does he bring correction? Yes, but never, never in harshness. All right. So, Father, I come before you, before that wonderful throne where all our prayers have gone up before you, before the throne of the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, and our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We stand, and again, we speak your word into the earth. Give us your word, Lord. Give us your truth. We will stand on the promises you've given us. We will stand on the prophetic words you've spoken into our destinies. And we will see the blessing of the Lord come to a place we cannot contain. And again, Lord, I give you glory, honor, and praise as we go this week. Give us the unction to share the good news. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you for putting up with me.